This episode of Stars and Characters brought to you by Stylin' Online T-Shirts and Accessories. Stylin' Online offers hundreds of Star Wars T-Shirts, vintage reproductions, humorous shirts, classic logo and character shirts, and much, much more. Stylin' Online also offers a huge variety of shirts and accessories from TV, movies, sci-fi, horror, anime, cartoons, Disney, gaming, and music. To check out Stylin' Online's huge collection of Star Wars T-Shirts and more, visit our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and click on the Stylin' Online link on the front page.
Maybe she likes his one eye.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Dorme. Dorme appears in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Now these names are from a fan named Zach Morgan, and they're not that bad.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. My name is Chief Crispa.
What's that?
Chirpa.
Oh.
Okay. It's good.
Should have used that on the Chief Chirpa episode.
I could have. Today I'm joined by... I wish I had to say this guy's name right. Galen Matrek?
Who?
It's Starkiller's name. His name is Galen Marak.
Oh, okay.
Galen Marak. No, I think that... Isn't that the guy from the old Republic game? The Star Wars old Knights of the Old Republic game?
I think it's Starkiller.
Oh.
I don't really know. I always just called him Starkiller. I never even knew he had a name.
That's a pretty obscure name.
Yeah.
We should do that character. The hell with Dorme.
Yeah, that is Starkiller, yeah.
And this next one, which I don't know why I never used it. Sitting to my right is Dave Gar.
Oh.
I never thought of that one.
I thought for sure you were going to, because we're doing Dorme, it was going to be Dave May or something.
I wrote that down for later on.
Okay. You should have went with Dormat for me.
And Zach's name for Matt? What? No, you already said you'd Matt. For Tim. Watt Timbor.
Hmm.
Okay.
Not bad?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
All that's right. That dumb 50s sci-fi looking robot, right?
Just like Tim. Is that a robot or in the 50s?
We will sign your treaty.
Yep, that's the one.
That's him.
One. Timbor.
Yeah.
Give us some facts about Dorme.
Oh.
All right. Well, Dorme, she is the devoted handmaiden of Padme Amidala. She was her handmaiden during her time as senator of Naboo in the Shamel sector. Now, this is something I found out now. I guess Padme is more than just the senator for the planet of Naboo. She's a senator for an entire sector. Within the galaxy, she has like several planets and 36 stars in the sector that she is a senator of, which I had no idea.
And when is that determined? Like, not on camera, right? Like, I don't remember that at all.
No, they never say anywhere in the films or anything. It's in some book somewhere, but I always thought that she was just senator for Naboo and that's it. Like, her district ends when the atmosphere ends.
Right.
But no, apparently she's got a bunch of planets and a bunch of stars in her system.
How about that?
Yeah.
You said, like, because I was curious about this Dorme.
When Dave gets frustrated before he even gets the question out. That's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah.
Thank you. She's a handmaiden. Right,
she's a handmaiden.
Like, because to me, like, I know that when she was queen, she had like Keira Knightley, whatever her name was. Like, she had these handmaidens. Like, she's not a queen anymore. Like, why does she have handmaidens? Like, is Dorme? You said she's listed as a handmaiden, but does she look more like a senator's aide or something like that?
Yeah, I never really thought of her as a handmaiden. I guess because she, you know, all the handmaidens that you see in episode one are all just they're almost like geishas, I guess.
Yeah.
They're just very subservient, where Dorme seems like she's there to serve. She's there to grab her coffee or get her a cappuccino or something.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. Like, what is her job? Is she just like a lady in waiting? Like, you know, like in the old times, like in Caesar's time, like they had these guys that they were like food tasters and stuff like that. Like, she's obviously trying to be killed, and I'm still kind of hazy on that. I mean, Tim, you can probably set this scene better for me than anybody. Like, who is trying to kill her? The separatists?
Yeah, I think the separatists with the Trade Federation and Count Dooku and all those guys were trying to assassinate her because she was trying to she was anti-army, so I guess it was more anti-galactic army. She was going to vote against a bill that would go to create a galactic army, I guess. And I think that Dooku, under the instruction of Palpatine or Darth Sidious, they were trying to get her out of the equation.
Okay.
So that the vote would go through. It's confusing.
Because the first scene of episode two is this Corday that dies. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, how many of these decoys / ladies in waiting / food tasters does she have running around?
And are they all ending in E?
They do all end in E, which I don't know if that is by design. Like, if one of them's name is Susan, does she have to change her name when she becomes a handmaiden?
Susie.
No, but yeah, she Padme has several as queen, and she has several as senator, and only one of the ones, which was when she was a senator, all of them end with A. Sabe, Erte, Rabe, Yane, Sashe, Faye, Dane, Dorme, Corde, Verse, Mote, Ele, Sabe, Erte again, and Teclaminu.
Oh. Holy shit.
Holy.
Yeah. One of them's name is just Faye. Just Faye.
Wow. But
that's all of them. And a few of them do die. Corde and Verse both die right there at the beginning of episode two.
Wow.
They're blown up.
I understand the core concept of this, but I just didn't understand why the hell they did this in these two movies, or maybe even it wasn't even in the third. I don't know, nor do I care. This is so stupid.
This is the idea of handmaidens and especially the idea of like handmaiden doubles, as we see in episode one. Those actually go back to early drafts of the treatment for Star Wars, where Princess Leia was initially supposed to have doubles that traveled along with her. So you'd see three Carrie Fishers walking down the hallway.
Did any of them have bras
on? And you didn't know which one. Not a one.
No bra.
But and again, there's not a whole lot of info on Dorme. It's very light. Mostly we're just talking about I took this opportunity to do Dorme so we could just talk about the handmaidens a little bit. And just
I don't think she's your type, Tim. Because hear me out. When there's a scene when Padme says, "I'm going to go retire." Now, if Dave and I are in a room and I say, "Hey, Dave, I'm going to bed." If Dave follows me to the bedroom.
No one's surprised. Oh,
sorry. Something's wrong. She went in there with her like immediately. Like she like if she's supposed to be her like her other person who is in Padme, why are they together all the time? Welcome to the
No, she's not supposed to be her double.
But why is she going in there to help her retire?
Who cares? When I'm looking at his list, she's the best looking one of them all.
Yeah.
And then if that's the case and she's there to, you know, protect her and she follows her into the bedroom, where the hell is she when those little worms come in? Because she's a day late and a dollar short on that whole thing. Yeah. She comes in after they've attacked and she comes and sits on the bed and goes, "You all right, my lady?"
Or was she?
Well, no shit, she's not all right. She just got attacked by some worms. Like it's like and they're all in their Erykah Badu gowns and headdresses.
Ooey ooey oo.
Then they share that weird cry and weird hug on the subway train.
Oh, yeah. That's
what's that?
she's all doe-eyed and teary-eyed and
go on.
And then there's something going on with her and Typho.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Hmm.
Maybe she likes his one eye.
That's terrible.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said on this show.
That is your finest point.
Yep. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, until her big scene, she just does lots and lots of eye acting. She's sitting in the background, look left, look right, just like she's watching a tennis match. And then in her big scene, and where they, you know, switch to Padme's Cleopatra headdress, that's actually kind of a sweet scene. I mean, take the sexual innuendo out of it. She interjects some emotion finally to this nightmare that we've been subjected to.
Right.
And they hug and they share that glance. They have some kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Whenever we're short of information, just throw it in the gutter and we can extend it to at least 30 minutes.
With Dorme, it's funny. Pretty much all the stuff I have about is about the handmaids. You know, they have to go through extensive training and battle and defense combat and all that sort of stuff. For her, I actually wrote this. Dorme doesn't really do anything except for run in a room and, you know, she flashes those beautiful, sad doe eyes to us as Padme and Anakin are becoming refugees to the planet of Naboo. And that's all she does. And then I don't think we see her after that.
No, I fast forward the whole movie. I didn't see her again.
Yeah, that's the last time I saw her.
So that's where she goes away. In the EU, she does extend and she goes all the way through into episode 3 and a little bit beyond, I guess, after Padme dies as a executive assistant, I guess. But she we don't see any of that. Mm-hmm. She's not there. When I remember when they released episode 2, they completely reformatted and re-edited it for the IMAX experience way back then. When going to an IMAX movie was something really, really, really special. And rather than just show episode 2 on the screen, just show it in 70mm, Lucas and ILM completely reformatted it. And they edited out almost everything that Dorme does in that movie.
Yeah.
So she's almost not even in the IMAX version of Attack of the Clones. I don't know if they ever released that so you can watch that at home or not, that edit. But she was almost completely edited out of that.
That'd be awesome to see him on the big screen, her eyes as big as monster truck tires.
That's a shame because, like I said, like there's a lot of robotic acting going on and she's got some chops. Like
she does.
Yeah.
Like for the short time she was in it, I did like it. And then I've seen all these things online. I put one on our Facebook page. There's all these Dorme and Anakin videos.
I saw that one. Was that one was good.
People try and make a relationship out of them, that there was this, like, you know, love affair going on between the two of them.
Right.
They were well done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, it's funny. On Wikipedia, it says that Dorme noticed the growing affection between Senator and Jedi Padawan Anakin Skywalker as she watched from the sidelines. When did she see this happening?
She was never with them.
She was very, very, very rarely with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Anakin had not seen Padme. Yeah, and they say it right at the beginning. He had not seen her in 10 years. Pretty much at that Festival of Light that you see at the end of Phantom Menace, they shake hands and go their separate ways for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then they come back, and then Dorme just sees Anakin running off with Padme as a refugee. When did she see this growing affection happening?
Yeah, because even up until then, Padme treats Anakin still like a little kid.
Yeah.
He's
all whiny and stuff like that, and she's not interested.
It must be little Annie to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's you're right. She didn't witness anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is something going on, though, with her and Typho.
Mm-hmm.
Because she says something about how, what does she say?
She'll be safe with me.
Yeah, right, she there. Makes mm-hmm. a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Dorme seems like a lot of fun. Like, she's
she's the fun handmaiden.
Yeah.
Once you go Typho, nowhere to go.
Jesus Christ.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't. I'm still laughing, but yeah.
Well, you know what Dorme means? And I looked it up because I knew it was like a French word, but it's more of an Italian word. It means sleep. Dorme.
Does typho mean anything else?
It means like typhoid.
Humongous wave.
Fine.
Venereal disease.
Anyway, that's all I have on the character. I have a little bit of behind the scenes information. First thing I want to say is Dorme is one of the few characters in the Star Wars universe that has never had an action figure made.
Queen Jamilia.
But there is a petition online to have a Dorme action figure made. I hope, Matt, this isn't your website, is it?
No.
Okay, good. I didn't want to steal any thunder.
I wish it was, though. It's far more interesting than my website, but anyway.
But there's a website, petition online. You can type in Dorme petition. You can bring this up. And there are now a total, as of recording this, 517 signatures to get a Dorme action figure. And they use the Boshek argument, where Boshek, who is Sideburns in Star Wars, they state that she has more lines and is much more attractive than Boshek, so she should have an action figure.
Oh, yeah, look.
That's the Boshek defense.
Did they make action figures for X-Men First Class or Troy or anything like that? I mean, people could make custom-made
X-Men ones. Probably with some.
Like they could.
I don't think they made a Moira McTaggart figure for X-Men First Class.
Someone could make a custom-made one.
Yeah, they probably could. I don't think she's been in anything that other than X-Men that would probably merit an action figure. So you never know. That Moira McTaggart X-Men First Class. Well, I mean, and they do a sequel to X-Men. She may show up in that. But Rose Byrne is the actress that plays Dorme, and we've actually she's made a pretty big name for herself over the past few years in American film and television. She's been in Bridesmaids, one of the biggest hits of last year. X-Men First Class. She's on the FX TV series Damages. She was in Troy. Get Him to the Greek. And the first movie I had ever seen her in after episode two was she was in Wicker Park, which is a very forgettable film back when they thought Josh Hartnett was going to be a big star in Hollywood. But that's the only other and she's been in a bunch of other things that we've seen her in. Just those are the main things. Now, you guys, of the people in Star Wars, in the prequels, who would you think is the biggest actor to come out of the prequels that was nobody before that?
Probably Keira Knightley.
Yeah, there's the pirate movies.
I was thinking Keira Knightley, but there's four names that pop up when I think of prequel actors. Keira Knightley, Joel Edgerton, Rose Byrne, and Dominic West.
I was thinking Ray Park.
That is West, yeah.
Yeah, Dominic West was like the guy standing outside the door or something.
He's
like.
In John Carter now, too. Dominic West.
I forgot all about Joel Edgerton.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea who any of those people are you mentioned.
Joel's Uncle Owen, and he's in that Warrior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Warrior. Yeah.
Remake.
And I think
he held.
I think
daughter.
Right now, if we look at 2012, I think Rose Byrne and Joel Edgerton are probably the most working out of those out of those four names that we pulled out there. I don't know. But, Rose Byrne, big name in Hollywood these days.
Would you have said that before Bridesmaids, though?
Probably not. I think if Bridesmaids had not been as big a success, I probably would have known who she was when I watched X-Men. But and actually, Bridesmaids, I didn't realize that was her until afterwards, until I saw the credits coming up. But, I mean, she's got a good thing going right now. She's on a hot streak.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
all I got.
Yay. I mean, yay.
Matt, is your website sexy at all?
No, it was actually incredibly disappointing when I found it. Because in the search, it came up Star Wars dolls for joy and pleasure. I was like, ooh. But it wasn't. But it was actually, it was almost interesting. It'd be interesting to like a 10-year-old little girl. I've seen custom action figures, but I've never seen custom Barbie dolls made of Star Wars figures, and that's what this site has. It's actually got them from a lot of movies, but they got like Barbie doll Star Wars dolls, and one is Dorme. So I was like, all right, what the hell? I'll post that up.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, it's ultra cool. There wasn't much to choose from. Let's just say that.
Are there photos of her like in outfits?
Yeah, it's just like the little, they made the little doll. They have a Dorme doll, a Rabe doll, Sabe, Amidala, Padme, Mon Mothma. This person has way too much time on their hands.
You know what they would have been perfect for?
What?
All right, I'm going to tell a story. If that's okay with you guys.
Go ahead.
This is a short episode. We can stretch this out, baby. many years ago, for my good friend Tim, I made a sculpture.
This is another Tim, right?
No.
Oh.
This is your very own Tim from this show. And I have to say, I'm sure it's gone by now, but it's maybe one of my finest moments.
It was a fine moment.
Tim, would you describe that sculpture that I made?
I want to say it was my 21st birthday.
Okay.
That you made this for me, and you and you got a 12-inch Lando doll, and you made up a diorama of sexy naked Lando with a 40 of Colt 45 stuck between his legs, with two a blonde and a red-haired chippy there in bed with his arms around him, and he had a Lobot tattoo on his chest as well, if I remember correctly.
Was it? You don't still have it, do you?
No, that during one of my many moves that went away. I don't know when I was lost that, I should say, but it was. I haven't had it for several years.
He traded it for Pop Rocks.
Exactly.
I remember that.
It was the presentation of the gift where I went over to Dave's small little apartment that he was sharing with his wife at the time, or his wife, I should say, not at the time. He's still married, but he pulls.
And you were sharing it with
but
her.
I go
you weren't
in there.
Living there with her.
My room.
This half is yours. This half is mine.
There's a white line in the middle.
My side.
But I remember going over there and it was this, oh, that I gotcha.
Yeah, it's
song.
Joe Tex, I gotcha. From Reservoir Dogs.
You thought you didn't see me now, did you?
Dave pulled pressed play on the song and pulled the sheet that was over top of his sculpture. And we just sat there and played the entire song from beginning to end without saying a single word until when the song was over. Dave and Chris was there, and they were like, "What'd you think?"
That was cool.
But it wasn't just that. I actually went and took sound clips. This is like,
oh, that's right, yes,
early technology, and I edited in sound clips of Lando going, "What have we here?" in the Joe Tex song. I forgot
that aspect. Yeah,
I'm not sure.
That thing was awesome.
I'm not sure I ever wanted to hear this story. This is a little weird.
was Lando dressed?
No, he was nude.
No.
And the bottle. Of...
You thought I didn't see you now, did you? You try to sneak by me now, did you?
And his bottle, Colt 45, was like his unit.
It was
that was.
Yeah, it was sticking up from between his legs. And there was two naked Barbie dolls with his arm around each on each side.
Well, I do remember that there was, since these are Barbie dolls, obviously they're not anatomically incorrect, but they decided to make them mature Barbie dolls by clipping a little bit of hair off the top of their head and placing it down south. Just
are you
to
sure
show
that's where
that
they got it
from?
Oh.
They all were set style.
If you only had that today, Tim, you could take a photo and post it on Facebook.
I wish. I'll have to check and see if I have a picture of it anywhere. I don't think I do.
This is like,
but yeah, I had that. It was awesome.
This is like that dark period when I lived in another country and then moved to Florida and didn't have contact with any of you guys. And sometimes I regret it, but then I hear stories like this and I'm okay with that part of my life.
Tim, is it like gone, like in the trash gone, or is a friend have it or something? Or
I don't think anybody has it. I think I may have had it when I lived in Telford, but I know it didn't make it on the trip down here to Nashville.
All right.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt everybody's life, but just you talking about these Dorme and Sabe and Yanni dolls, I could have used them back then.
Yeah, you could have.
Right.
Instead of just being like generic old Barbie dolls.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, is it time, Dave?
It is time for trivia.
Yay, trivia.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
This is heating up.
Why, yeah.
That's right. It got interesting last time.
It got very interesting. And I'll tell you the scores in reverse order this time, just so I don't leave myself in there last. I have 8. And then, Chris, you have 15.
I do.
You're still in it.
Okay.
Then Matt with 19.
Doing good.
And Tim with 21.
Woo!
We got ourselves a barn burner is what we got. So, Chris, you're first.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Give me something easy. The past two suck.
I give you randomly
I know.
Thumbs up. And right now it's from A New Hope era.
Okay.
Okay. The question is this. How many giant turret gun stations does an Imperial class Star Destroyer have?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
2 points if you guess without the multiple choice, 1 point with the multiple choice.
Give me the multiple choice, please.
Okay. Does the Imperial class Star Destroyer have 6 giant gun turrets? 8, 10,
or 12,
or 4.
Or 4.
Little thinking music for you.
All right, I'm thinking here.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's stuff underneath it.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I never would have thought of that.
Then I'm going by memory, by playing those Rogue Squadron X-Wing games.
Like, you had to, like, knock them
you
all out.
You had to shoot them all out, yeah, right. To go past the next stage.
That's a good strategy.
I'm going between 6 and 8, right? Were those two choices?
A was 6 and B was 8. How many giant turret gun stations does an Imperial class Star Destroyer have?
All right. I want to say 6.
You're going with 6, which is A.
This is it.
For 1 point.
Yeah.
It is incorrect.
Is it 8?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But, all right.
It was B8. It has 8 giant turret gun stations.
8.
All right.
Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah, I know. Matt, did anyone else know it out there? Did you know it?
Oh, God, no.
No.
I knew it wasn't, you know, 4, it seemed less. A lot less.
All right, well, that means it's Tim's turn, right?
Yeah.
Tim is also from A New Hope era.
Okay.
And Tim's question is this. What cargo was Jabba upset that Han Solo had jettisoned?
Ooh.
Oh, man. We talked about this. I'm going to need the multiple choice.
Okay. Was the cargo A, Slythe? Or Slith. I'll give you the spelling. It's S-L-Y-T-H. Was it B, Death Sticks? Was it C, Glitters Tim? Which is a good name for him.
Is Tim glittering?
What was it? Glitter Tim?
Glitters Tim.
Oh, Glitters Tim.
You got to write that down for a name for him for one of these episodes.
I do.
Or was it D, Dianoga Spleens?
Oh, God. Rancor Placenta.
I didn't hear the scent part at first. Never mind.
Slip.
You know, for some reason, the
when you said placenta,
yeah,
I heard puss. I didn't hear.
Oh
scent
God! Oh Jesus Christ!
That's what I heard. It's okay.
Jeez. For some reason, the glitter stems.
Are you gonna do that? Are you gonna go with that one? With your name?
That one sounds familiar. I don't know. I think we talked about this. I'm going to go with the glitter stems.
Glitter Stim is C.
Yes.
It is correct.
Woo! Oh, my God.
Not bad, Tim.
That was a hard one.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Star Wars character, for
you're welcome.
Teaching me that on some unknown episode in the past. I don't remember what episode it was.
It's probably the Elon Sleeves Bagano. That's the one where we talked about drugs.
That was good. Tim, while Matt's doing his thing, find out what Glitter Stim is, because I'm like, I'm interested now.
Glitter, GLITTERSTIM.
Yeah, and then your name.
Glitter Stim.
All right. Matt.
Dave.
Your question is from the Empire Strikes Back era.
Ooh, all right.
And this is a quote one. Okay. But, okay. I don't know. At least to me, at least you know it's out of the movie. So here's your question.
Okay.
What was C-3PO's first exclamation after he was turned back on?
Oh.
I think, you know what's weird?
I just said this last episode, but what was it? Because it was the Ugnaughts, like, they were talking about it. I think it's, oh, man. It's Stormtroopers here, and the middle part, I'm not sure about, and the last part is, oh, no, I've been shot. So I'm going to, but I need the 2 points to catch up with Tim.
What is that?
So I'm going to say, Stormtroopers here, I have to warn the others, oh, no, I've been shot.
This is madness.
And guess what?
What?
That is absolutely correct.
All right. What are we, 1 point away now? 2 points.
Stormtroopers here. I've got to warn the others. Oh, no. I've been shot.
Matt, that was really, really fucking awesome.
Thank
that
you.
That is 2 points, and the score between you two is 22 to 21.
Oh, this is...
That was well done.
This is getting cool. Good.
I am impressed. I am very impressed. I didn't even push the button. I just pushed it. Because I knew it was...
Do you want to know what Glitter Stim is?
Yes, I do.
It is a potent variety of spice drug that is mined in Kessel. So it is a drug. It is spice, but it is mined from the webs of spice spiders. And so, Glitter Stim addicts were sometimes called glit biters.
Oh, God. So that's why somebody took that thing he's talking about making the Kessel run. Like, so
yeah.
Like, he may have done that getting a shipment of Glitter Stim.
Yep. Oh, so, here, this is where we learned it during the Cantina band, because Figurin' Dan was a Glitter Stim addict.
Oh,
that's right.
So basically Han Solo is a drug dealer.
He's a pusher man.
Ow.
Well, he's a, maybe not a drug dealer, but
he's a mule.
He's part of the cartel.
He's a mule.
Yeah.
Wow. This is shocking.
Yeah.
Are you ready for yours, Dave?
Yeah. What difference does it make? Just give it to me. Okay. I think people like to hear the questions, and I like to, you know, I'm sure everybody gets my questions right as they listen to the show, and they tell me, you know, they probably say like what an a-hole I am. So I'm doing this as a public service so people can feel better about themselves.
This one's worth 18 points. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Return of the Jedi. There. Mm-hmm. Where did Luke Skywalker turn himself into Imperial troops on Endor?
Come on.
Where did he do it?
Where did Luke turn himself into Imperial troops on Endor?
On Endor? You want something more specific?
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. We're at on Endor.
Well, come on.
All right, relax.
Don't do that.
Well, it was like, I remember they showed this little thing, and there's like a landing platform where there was the Imperial shuttle was there, and I'm pretty sure that's where it was. So I'm going to be vague and hope you're kind, and I'm going to say at a landing platform.
All righty.
Got him. I got him.
Now there's 4 choices, and one of them is an Imperial landing platform.
Ooh. Yeah, that's got to be it. If I get this wrong, I quit the show.
All right, it is that C on it. I'm hitting C. Correct.
All right.
Whoa.
All right.
18 points.
Double digits, baby. That's I'm only right. 5 behind you.
That's all right.
That was good. You all got some good questions, and I did not. Well, I'd like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about Dorme. Join us next time we discuss, finally, Greedo.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.